The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, as we heard the ambulance siren just as we began this service, we realize that the world is not all peaceful. We watch the turmoil all around. We watch and feel the weight of uncertainty and disorder. This evening we gather in your house to wait again for you to come among us, to wonder at the signs and promises, and to listen for your call. But we bring things with us. We bring along our lives, our pains, our fears, and our frustrations. Holy God of eternal hope, we bring to you our prayers for those in pain and need, for refugees and soldiers, for those whose lives have been upended by death or disaster, by illness, unemployment, or despair. Open your heart to the burdens we bring, for we would set them down this Advent season as we wait to celebrate your coming. Give us the Spirit to serve while we are waiting, to serve in ways that bring light and honor to you. O God of hope, brighter than the sun, we celebrate the promise that you are here among us, growing hope within us as we face this unknown future, drawn together by your love through Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior, who has come and is coming into the world. In his name, amen.
The Advent Wreath. The Advent Wreath is an old Christian custom originating in Germany centuries ago. The wreath is simply a circle of greenery around which four candles, one for each week of Advent, are equally spaced. Since green is the color of life and growth, and a circle has no beginning and no end, this wreath symbolizes eternity. The candles, representing 4,000 years the world traditionally waited in darkness for Christ, are significant both in color and in light. Although several different traditional color arrangements are used for the candles, the one we use tonight is probably the most often used. The four candles on the edge of the wreath are violet. Violet is the color of repentance. The first candle is lit before the devotions on the first Sunday in Advent. During this first week, only one candle glows when we worship. On each succeeding Sunday, as we draw nearer to Christ's birthday, another candle is lit until finally all are aflame. The light these candles put forth may be small, but these flames, growing brighter each week, stress the growing power of Christ Jesus over darkness. On Christmas Eve, the candle within the circle is lit. This white candle is the Christ child, signifying that the light for our darkness has been born. Today is the first Sunday of the Advent season. We will light the first candle to remind us of forgiveness.
Thank you. The holly and the ivy. This comes from the fourth servant song from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the sufferings of Jesus, who saved us from our sins by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passions. Their prickly leaves suggested the crown of thorns, the red berries the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. As we hang the holly and ivy, let us rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
The greens, the wreaths, and the poinsettias. The prophet declares, a child will be born. Isaiah 9th chapter, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Because the needles of the pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of things that last forever. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hang the greens and the wreaths to signify the eternal reign of Jesus, the Christ. The flaming starlight poinsettia, now recognized as one of our most highly cherished emblems, is a native of the American continent. It was first introduced to this country in 1828 by Dr. Joel Roberts Poinsett of Charleston, South Carolina, and given his name. Dr. Poinsett was our first ambassador to Mexico, and he discovered the distinctive flower called by the Mexicans and the people of Central America Flor de la Noche Buena, Flower of the Holy Night. As with many of our other Christian Christmas traditions, the poinsettia also has its legends. In one such Mexican legend, the poinsettia originated in a miracle. A poor boy, with nothing to offer Christ at the local church, fell on his knees, affirming his desire to give the gift he had no money to buy. As he rose, the first flower of the holy night sprang from the ground at his feet. The boy broke some of the branches and laid his gift at the altar. Whether we believe in legends, we are truly grateful to those who helped develop the lovely poinsettia that adds grace and beauty to our homes and churches.
Candles. The mystery, this comes from the mystery of the Incarnation, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Christian use of the candles, symbolic of Christ, the light of the world, is said to be a combination of Roman and Hebrew customs. An early writer, Durandus, said The wax represented Christ's body, the wick, his soul, and the flame, his divine nature. As we prepare for the coming of Christ, the light of the world, we light the candles of Advent. During this season, wherever you see a lighted candle, let it call to mind the one who brings light to our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and peace to all who receive him.
The Chrismon Tree. Chrismon is a combination of two words, Christ and monogram. Over the years, Chrismon ornaments have developed so that we now use more than just the monogram of Christ. We use other symbols that all refer to our Lord. These symbols were designed and carved or drawn by some of the earliest Christians. The monograms were found in many places, some on jewelry and utensils, others on doors, or in catacombs of buildings. Early Christians used them to identify themselves to one another, to designate meeting places for the church, and to show their affiliation to unbelievers. All chrismons are made in combinations of white and gold. White, the liturgical color for Christmas, refers to our Lord's purity and perfection, gold to his majesty and glory. The chrismon tree, a sign begun in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia, has now spread to many other congregations. This evergreen tree is covered with signs of Christ, such as stars. With the chrismons, we use tiny white lights on the tree to represent Christ as the light of the world. May these symbols from the community of love, the Christian Church, continually remind us of God's greatest gift to us all, Jesus Christ. Please join us in the prayer of dedication for the chrismon tree. Holy Lord, we come with joy to celebrate the birth of your Son, who rescued us from the darkness of sin by making the cross a tree of life and light. May this tree, arrayed in splendor, remind us of the life-giving cross of Christ, that we may always rejoice in the new life that shines in our hearts. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Nativity, Away in a Manger, It is a favorite carol of children. Many boys and girls get a vivid impression of the circumstances under which Christ was born from nativity scenes. This Christmas custom is said to have originated in the church as early as the 8th century. St. Francis of Assisi popularized this reenactment of the birth of the Christ child as part of the Christmas observance when he set up a manger scene in a little town of Greco, Italy, in 1224. Tradition holds that the first reenactment took place in a cave on a hill above Greccio. St. Francis himself arranged the scene using a manger, straw, a live ox and donkey, and a life-size wax figure of the Christ child. Real people took the parts of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. Worships were so impressed by the ceremony that they repeated their rites year after year. Gradually, the custom spread to distant parts of the world. During the 18th century, many immigrants came to this country from Moravia, bringing their version of the nativity scene to display in homes and churches. Today, we find small nativity scenes on the tabletop or under a tree, and large life-size ones in town squares. These representations of the Christmas story remind us that night when the shepherds saw the first nativity scene in Bethlehem.
Let me share with you the story of Jesus' humble birth from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among men." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Join me in the collect for Advent. Send, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world the light of your Son. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people, and so direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way revealed to us, as the shepherds of Bethlehem walked with joy to the manger where he dwelled, who now and ever reigns in our hearts forever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Before our benediction, I want to invite everyone here to the fellowship hall for refreshments immediately afterwards. I want to thank everyone who had a part in the planning of this service. It certainly did not happen without tremendous amount of planning and input from so many people, and I do give thanks for that. Come and mingle with the performers and with each other, and begin your Christmas season this night in the fellowship hall with refreshments. And now receive this blessing. The blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the guidance and the fellowship and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Unwrap for yourself the tremendous gift God has given us in the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ, in this life and in the life to come. Our hope is in Him. In Jesus' name, amen.